Starting from the two dots in the bottom of Chav Chet, Amud Bet, Gemara quotes the Mishnah is in Mukzeh, Amar Resh Lakish. Eini Sur, Ele Mukzeh L'Shevesh Anim. Rashi gives two interpretations to this. One is that Mukzeh is only Mukzeh if you're Mekatzeh it for a minimum of 7 years. Or the Lishna Achwina is, Eini Isur Mukzeh Ele L'Shevesh Anim. That the Isur Mukzeh only lasts for 7 years. If they designate it toward Zavod Zarah, that it expires. It terminates by itself after 7 years. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that the mukseh has to be designated for a minimum amount of time in order for it to be classified as mukseh. In that they designate it for 7 years. That's what's called mukseh shenemar. So they quote the pasukim from Sefer Shoftim by Gidon. Vayhi b'layla hu, vayomer lo Hashem, kach et par hashor, asher le'avicha, Parashini Sheva Shanim. So it says that he should take, Hashem commands him to go take the par of his father and then the other par that was for 7 years to then be makriv them on the Mizbeach, to destroy the Mizbeach Abal, the Asherah, and then be makriv these as the Karbanot. V'hatam Mukzeh B'lechud Ava. Over there when he says take a Parashini Sheva Shanim, that was only because it was Mukzeh for 7 years, which is what the Gemara is trying to prove from here, that Mukzeh is for 7 years. Nevadami Ava. They also worshipped it. Rashi says about this, Lo yadana meheicha nafka. I don't know where he got that from, that they actually worshipped it. There's nothing in the Psukim to indicate that they necessarily worshipped it, but the Gemara is just...
And how do you know that the Parashat was...
Right, Mukzeh either. It's not clear. I mean, they were part of the Avodah Zarah setup, so we can assume that maybe it was Mukzeh, but even so, it's not so simple, what they're saying, but the Gemara's conclusion is probably right, which is interesting. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Mukzeh la'avod v'lo avdu. In Okanami, it was a mukzeh to be used, to be worked with. It was set aside to be worshipped, but they had yet to worship it. Rabba Amar, the Olam Avdua, they did worship it. V'chidushu. And this is a chidush that we were allowed, or Gidon was allowed to put it on the Mizbeach. Yidu Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Dam Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana is maleh here, something that is a recurring problem through Sefer Shoftim. We know that Mishkan Shiloh was put in place already in the time of Sefer Yoshua. So Mishkan Shiloh is in place. It's not destroyed in the time of Eli. Yet, throughout Sefer Shoftim, there are korbanot, bamot, that are brought without any consideration for the fact that there was Mishkan Shiloh. This is one of the places, Gidon. We have it by Manoach and Eshet Manoach. All of these places that we have throughout Sefer Shoftim, without batting an eye, are makriv korbanot outside of Mishkan Shiloh. And we know that when it comes to Mishkan Shiloh, there's Isur Habamot. And that's exactly what Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana says, Shwana Derimi Tu Bot Alayla. That night, whatever happened there when Gidon was commanded to do it, was something out of the ordinary, extraordinary, because number one, it was Shchutei Chutz, because the Mishkan Shiloh was in place. Number two was Layla, nighttime, we don't do Avodah at night. Number three is Zarut. It's a non-Kohen performing Avodah. Klisharet, there were no Klisharet over there. Although, truthfully, if it was a Bama, then you wouldn't need a Kohen and you wouldn't need Klisharet. But, assuming that it should have been a Mishkan Shiloh, then you should have had a Kohen, should have had Klisharet. Uklei HaSheirah uses the Kelim of the Avodah Zarah to be Makriv the Korban. Ve'atzei HaSheirah, he cuts up the tree as the firewood for the Mizbeach. Umukzeh, which is what we were dealing with, Ve'ne'avad. So it has all of these characteristics to it. I mean, this was not your average event. This was something like Eliyahu Bahara Carmel, something of that nature, which was, it wasn't necessarily something that would have been mutar unless Hashem comes and speaks to you and tells you to do such. So we can't bring any proof from that about mukseh in general. Amar Rav Tubi Bar Matna, Amar Rav Yoshaya, minayin lamukseh min haTorah. Where do we know this? From the Torah. Now, it's an interesting question in general. What does that mean, mukseh min haTorah? Because we have mukseh by Shabbat, we have things like that, which are clearly dirabbanan. So now Gemara asks here, where's the mukseh from the Torah? We already talked about it, we spoke about it in yesterday's daf, that it's min haBakar, let's see, it's a mukseh. That was one of the things that it came to exclude. The Gemara here, at least in the Havami, the Gemara wants to know, how do you know when you designate something in Kodesh, that it takes on a designation, Shneamar, tishmiru lahakriv li. Because it says there, tishmiru, you have to guard whatever you're going to be put on the mizbeach for me. The word bemoladu is not relevant, Ashita leaves it out. You have to make sure that something that you're going to put on the mizbeach was mukseh, the mizbeach. So now Gemara says, kosho sim lo shimur. Whatever has shimur, whatever has this designation can be put on the mizbeach. So mati flo abaye lemiata, aitit imra detzuma, velo avedli shimur. So if we bring a sheep, a ewe, was starved, And nobody ever looked at it, nobody ever considered it for a korban. So then it's not ro'i l'akrava. Is that really true? It wasn't my mukse for the mizbeach. It wasn't designated for the mizbeach. Is that really true? So malay, ana tishmeru l'akriv li. Again, without the word mo'ado. Kamina li v'lo l'adon acher. It's not, I wasn't trying to learn from here that you have to have mukse l'kodesh. I was trying to learn from here is that mukse is... Right. There's mukse for the mizbeach, for kodesh, but not for anyone else. And who's this adon acher? So the Adon Acher, Vezu Adon Acher is, Ha'er Yomer, Zu Avodat Kochavim. This is Avodah Zarah. You must not designate things towards Avodah Zarah. Or, more importantly, is that things that are designated towards Avodah Zarah cannot go on the Mizbeach. In the end, the answer is that Mukse can't go on the Mizbeach, but it's not a Sur Lehejilt. This is a big distinction that we're going to draw, and the Gemara is going to deal with this right now, which is, we thought originally we were talking about Kodesh, that you have something that's Mukse Lemizbeach. But that's not relevant to what we were looking for. The answer in the end was that you can have muksel mizbeach, but something that's muksel avodah zarah will not go on the mizbeach, because it's tishmeru li. Things that were specific for kodesh can go on the mizbeach. Okay, if they're neutral, the default is that they can go on the mizbeach. But if you actively be mekatzeh for something else, that's a violation of tishmeru li, and it can't go on the mizbeach anymore. So mukse can't go on the mizbeach, but it's mutar lehejot. This is a din in kodeshim. Amar Rava bar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, ein mukse asur ela Ad Shiyavduoto. Rashi brings two possibilities about what this means. One is that it's not mukse until they do work with it. If they're going to makatsa the Avodah Zarah, Rashi brings the first interpretation that it pulls an Avodah Zarah wagon. It does some other isur for Avodah Zarah, then it's mukse la Avodah Zarah. That's one. Rashi rejects that pshat and brings a second pshat because he says the word Ella. The word Ella says, Ein mukse asur Ella Ad Shiyavdu. That it's only mukse until they do work with it. And he says that once it does work for the Komarim, we know for sure it's not going on the Mizbeach.
What's the difference between Mukse and
Nevad? No, the first case is not Nevad in the terms of Avodah Zarah. They didn't worship it. They used it to work for Avodah Zarah. That would be the Nevad in the first case. The second Lashon, which Rashi favors heavily, is that the Mukse only lasts until they give us indication that it's not going to be put on the Mizbeach. It's not going to be put on for Avodah Zarah. How do I know that? Well, if they use it to work for the Komrei Avodah Zarah, then they're certainly not going to put it on the Mizbeach. So that already identifies it as not being mukse. So really what we're getting here is, when does the mukse terminate? So the first case is Ajiavdu. Once they do, we should have do oto. Once they use it for avoda, then it's not going to be put on the Mizbeach. Ula, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ajim Seru, Ola Kumrei, Avodat Kochavim. Until they give it over to the Kohanei Avodah Zarah. So again, it can go in both directions. Give it over to the Kohanei Avodah Zarah means that's when it becomes mukse Avodah Zarah. If someone gives over their animal to the Kumreim, but the way Rashi is interpreting it means lachila. Then once the Komrei Avodah Zarah assume they're going to eat it, that means it's not going on the Mizbeach anymore. It becomes chulin, it's not designated for Avodah Zarah. Now the next line is very interesting. You would have said, Baha Amar Rabbi Yochanan, you would have thought that was a statement. But from the Gemara afterwards, you know that Baha is the name of a Chacham. So it's Baha, said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The Shitu Mikubetzet brings down two other possibilities of what his name was, either Bata or Dibachavato. Whatever this is the name of a Chacham who's quoting Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara will continue to use the word Baha, so we'll just say it's Baha, but just note that there are other interpretations of what his name is. So Baha Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shechilu Karshinei Avodat Kochavim. Until they start to feed him, to fatten him up. The truth is that you can fatten him up for two reasons. One is to go on the Mizbeach, one is for the Komrei Avodah Zarah to eat. So in the first interpretation of Rashi would be, if they're fattening him up for the Mizbeach, that's a sure thing that they're Mekatzeh at the Mizbeach. The second interpretation of Rashi, that's how you know it's not going on the Mizbeach. Once they start to fatten it up, it means they're planning on eating it. If they're planning on eating it, then it's not Mukse Avodah Zarah. So here are either three ways that you start, or something is classified as Mukse. That's the first interpretation of Rashi. Or the other way is, that's the way you terminate Mukse. That's how you know it's no longer Mukse. Amar Le Rabbi Abba, Libaha, so this is this Chacham, Maflegitu Atun A'ula, he said to Baha, are you arguing on U'ula? Because Ula says until you give it over to the Kohanim. And then Baha added on that until they feed him, Karshinei Avodat Kochavim. I'm like, look, Ula Nami Kika Amar, who, when Ula said his statement, it would be the Safile, if it was, it should be with the Samach, the Safile, but the Shita changed it to Machile Karshinei Avodat Kochavim. That he agrees to our position. We're just explaining the position of Ula, we're not arguing on Ula. So I'm Rabbi Abba, Yada Baha the Shnuye Shmaito. He says, Baha knew how to explain this whole situation. Vilo the Salik Mehatam. It's either Salik Mehatam or the Salik Hocha. Rabbi Abba means that he's in Eretz Yisrael. And he's talking about Baha. So either Baha came Mehatam from Bavel to here, or Vilo Salik Mehocha. He didn't come here. Lobi Yoda. He wouldn't have known to answer and learn in this way. The Eretz Yisrael Garmalei. Avir the Eretz Yisrael Machkim. And the fact that he made Aliyah, that's what made him such a Talmud Chacham, and that's why he was able to answer this. So he's crediting his time in Eretz Yisrael with this ability to explain properly the position of Ula. Malay Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak, so we know he's from Bavel. Baha Mikan Mikan Abba. Baha started out in Bavel. Yes, he was in Eretz Yisrael, but he's from both. And therefore, if you get credit for his accomplishments both with Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, how are you so sure that it's only because he went to Eretz Yisrael? The Tani, Rav Chananya, Trita, Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Mukse Asur, Ela Ad Shiasu Bo Maaseh. It's not Mukse until you do a Maaseh, you do an action with it. Hu Tanila, Vehu Amarla, he brought it down and he explained, Mai Maaseh, Ad Shi Gazez V'Avod Bo. So that means that the Maaseh that we're looking for is until you shear it or they do Avoda with it. Again, this tracks more towards Rashi's second interpretation, which is, how do you know when it's not muksa anymore? How do you know that the muksa is completed or terminated? That is, once you do giza, when they do the shearing of it, when they do some avodavar, which indicates you're not going to put it on the mizbech anymore. You're going to put it on the mizbech, you don't do mundane activities with such an animal. Ezu ne'avad. So we said by the Mishnah, the last line in the Mishnah was, zeh v'zeh mutarim be'achila. Both ne'avad and muksa are mutarim lehejot, but they're asurim the mizbech. Gemara wants to know, how do you know that they're mutarim lehejot? So Amar Papa, Damar Kra, Mimashke Yisrael. In Yechezkel, when it's dealing with the Bigdash Shlishi, when it's dealing with the Korbanot, it says that that which is brought on the Mizbech, again, it's out of context, it's really not necessarily the Pashtuta Pasuk, but the Gemara dashes this in many places, that it has to be Mashke Yisrael, meaning Mutar Yisrael. That which goes on the Mizbech has to be something that's otherwise Mutar for Yisrael to eat. So the only way that you can put something on the Mizbeach is if it was mutar. Now, if you think that these things are asurim to a hejot, why do I need a pasuk to exclude them from the Mizbeach? Why do I need min habakar, min hatzon to exclude these items if they are asurim anyway? They would have been asurim because a hejot couldn't use them. They don't go on the Mizbeach because of Mashke Yisrael. Why would I need an additional miut to come to exclude these items when they would never go on the Mizbech to start with? Is that really true? Anything that's a sewer to hejot, we don't need a posuk to come to exclude it? I'll give you a classic example. That's not true. But treifa, dasir lehejot, treifa, a regular lay person cannot eat. And we have a posuk specifically that says that you can't bring a treifa on the Mizbech, detanya. When it says minabakar, below, shein tohum lomar, because you don't need to say it below. In Vayikra it says, these are what you bring the olah from. And then later on it specifies those individually. It says, mina behema, mina bakar, mina tzon in the beginning. And then later on it goes, if you bring a mina tzon, if you bring a mina bakar. So it says mina bakar twice. When it says mina bakar the second time, I don't need it. Elotziyat a treifa, comes to be mayi treifa, why do I need that? Where it says, itzrich, I need that. I would think that the only problem is it was a trefer first, and then he tried to be makdishit. Avonit kadshah, if it was already kodesh, ema the tishrei legvah, maybe it should be fine. Mutar Yisrael would only be relevant if it was already a trefer when you came to be makdishit, because then it would have been a sword to Israel, and therefore you couldn't put it onto the mizbeach. Now, when you were makdishit, it was already fine. It was ema mashke Yisrael. Only later on to become a treifa. So that's what the puzzle comes to exclude. Wait a minute, don't we have another place? We said this by maser, and then we extrapolated from maser to all other karbanot, which is that by the maser, it has to walk under the staff to be counted. Prat the treifa, she'en overet. Prat to a treifa that's missing its leg, menakova and mala, missing its leg, that it can't walk, so a treifa is psula. So there's a third pasuk now that comes to exclude treifa. I have three psukim excluding treifa. I have a mimashke Yisrael, I have minabakar, and now I have kol she yavor takad hashevet. Haunami yitzrich. I need three psukim. Sakadat kamin anime leicha duloaita la shata kosher. I would have thought that was only if it was never kosher. Do no da treifa mimeima. If it was congenitally a treifa, then it would be a problem. If it was kashir at one point, maybe then it would be mutar legevoah. If it was never a treifa and you were makdisha, then only became a treifa later, I would think that was also mutar. Long comes bina bakar to exclude that. So I need each pasuk to exclude a different stage of when it can be treifa. The first pasuk is for congenital treifa. Second pasuk is for treifa that precedes the kodesh. And the third pasuk is to exclude a case where it's nitrifa achar shenikt kadsha. Okay, next Mishnah. Vezu etnan. So we had in our Mishnah things that are precluded from the Mizbeach. One, they were etnan and mechir kelev. So Mario wants to know, what is an etnan? When it's exchanged for a harlot's wage. Ha'omer lezona. Someone who says to a zona, holich tleze bischarech. Take this tle in exchange for your wages. Afilu hein kuf. If there are 100, kulan asurin. And we'll have to, Gemara will ask about what that means. V'cheno omer lechaviro. Anyway, says to his friend, holich tleze. Vitalin shifchatech et labdi. Take this tle in remuneration for your maidservant coming and sleeping with my evet. Rabbi Omer, no etnan. That's not considered etnan. V'chamim omrim etnan. That is considered etnan. That's exchange for wages. Obviously, you can see why this might be slightly different than etnan zona. So, amamar, v'afilu hen me'ah, kulan asurim. Even if there are 100, they're asurim. Hechi dami, what's the case here? If her wage was 100 behemot, pshita de kulu asiri. Of course, they're all asur, and this guy's probably a fool as well. That's a pretty high wage. So mali chad, mali meya. What's the difference whether she gets 1 or 100, whatever her wages are? That's called etnan zona. Period. The girsa here, you can see all the otiot of the gra. Rashi has a slightly different girsa. I'm going to read what we have here, but the direction, the intent of the gemara is the same whether you read it with every girsa, which is otricha de shakla agra chado, and her wages were 1. V'yoyivla Meya. And instead he gives her 100, or Rashi has a girsa of 2. He paid her her wages, and then he gave her a tip in addition to that. So then, kulu mikoach etnan kaate. They get become connected to the wages. They become a sniff. They become a derivative of the wages. And even though they're not the primary wages, they become caught up in the wages. So when you give the tip, or you give the bonus, along with the wages, that's considered etnan zuna. Right, Tan Rabbanan, this is a sugya that we did in Avodah Zarah. It's the entire Gemara that we did in Avodah Zarah, quoted straight through. If he gave her the wages and then didn't sleep with her, or he slept with her and didn't give her the wages, etnana mutar. Her etnan is mutar. So Mara says right away, if he gave her wages and didn't sleep with her, etnana karitle, then what are you talking about etnan for? He never slept with her. Vitu. And even worse, if he slept with her and never gave her wages, mayavla, then what are we talking about etnana mutar? He didn't give her anything. So you have to amend this to read this way. If he gave her the wages and then only afterwards slept with her, or he slept with her and then gave it to her, etnana mutar. That the etnan doesn't work. So now the Gemara says, wait, first of all, in the case where he slept with her and then paid her, I understand why it's etnana mutar, because it was not designated beforehand. He owed her money, and he's just using this as money good to fulfill his din. It's not an etnan. It wasn't particularly designated to be her wages. It's just he has to give her money, so he gives her the animal. So I understand there why it's not etnan. Gemara wants to know, what about beforehand? If he designates the animal beforehand and then sleeps with her, why is that not called etnan the mafreya? We know now clearly that he gave her this animal, and he slept with her. Why is that not considered to be designated for her wages? So why doesn't it retroactively become an etnan when he paid her up front? Sam Rabbi Elazar, shikadma behikrivato. She put it on the mizbeach before he slept with her. He gave it to her, she put it on the mizbeach, and then he slept with her. Hey, chidami, explain to me exactly how this works. It's a very frum zona, but explain to me how this works. Inema da'akna nihala la'altar. He gave her it originally, meaning he paid it to her, it was her full possession. Pshita the mutar. Then it's clear that it's mutar. Dad kan lo ba'ala. Meaning that if he gave it to her fully, and then it has yet to sleep with her, that's in her possession, that means it's not wages. It means he gave her a gift. Vela da amar la lo nikne laich ad shad bi'ah. So what the most normal case would be, it's not yours until I sleep with you, which would be her wages. Mi matzid mi karvele. How could she put it on the mizbeach? Ish ki yakdish et beito kodesh l'Hashem. Amar Rachmana, the Torah says, ma beito birshuto, af kol birshuto. You only had to put things on the mizbech that you own. There are two things that you require. Ownership and control. And she has maybe control, but she doesn't have ownership. It's not hers yet. Lo, tzricha, da'amar la, lo, miknalach, ad shad bi'ah. That it's not going to come into your possession until bi'ah. Vi'i mitzvich lach, nikli lach me'ashav. If you have a special need beforehand, you can take it right away. So he puts a little out in his kinyan. Even though, technically, when she takes it now, it's not in her wages, since it was grouped, it was bundled with her wages, so even though she gets a right to take it out early, since it was bundled in that statement, you would have thought it was an etnan. The answer is that since she gets possession of it already and put it on the mizbeach, that it works. So now, by Rav Hoshaya, kadma v'hikrivato mai. Here we said kadma v'hikrivato. She went ahead and she put on the mizbeach. That's why it doesn't turn into etnan, because it was gone by the time she slept with him. What happens if she's makdishit and it's still around when she sleeps with him? Mai. So tifshalemi Rabbi Elazar. Damar Rabbi Elazar, kadma v'hikrivato. So hikrivato, he da'alete b'shat bi'ah. He only gave the example of putting it on the mizbeach because it's not around when the bia happened. Aval hikdishato asur. But if it was magdishit, it would be asur because it's still around. He gufa kamibayile. That's exactly what we're asking. Kivato valeta bishat bia mutar. That only when you're makivit and it's not around at the time when the act happens, then it's mutar. Aval hikdisha bishat bia asur. Odilma kevan dit nan amiratola gvoa kemisiratola hejot. That when you give something, designate something to Hekdesh, it's the equivalent of making a kinyan for Hekdesh upon it. Hekdishato, mutar is also mutar. Big makdish is the equivalent of putting it into the possession of Hekdesh. Once it's in the possession of Hekdesh, you can't be oseret. Certainly, if you're makrivit, then it's mutar. Teku. We don't know what the din of Hekdesh is with regards to this. We know that akrava will work by Hekdesh. We're not sure if that's strong enough to take it out of the parsha of Etnan. If he first slept with her, and then sends it to her as her wages, then it's not etnan. Vatanyo. We have a braita that says the opposite. He slept with her, and then he pays her, even up to the next year, etnan al sur. That is etnan. The one who says that they designate the wages up front. She says, sleep with me for this tleh. So it's a specific tleh that's being designated as the wages. So then even if he gives it to her after 12 months, that's still etnan. The case that we quoted before, where it's not considered etnan, is where she just says, my wages are etleh. So Mar says, why does tleh zeh work? There was no kinyan. Even if you designate the tleh, she never made a kinyan on it. Bizona, avodat kochavim. We're talking about a non-Jewish harlot who does not have a kinyan mishicha. Ibaitema, afilu bizona israelit. We're talking about a zona israelit, kugon, dukai bechatzera. It was in her chatzer. So if it's in her chatzer, she has a kinyan chatzer on it. Mar says, wait a minute. You're trying to bring an example of a case. The quote that we brought from the previous time was, ba'aleha va'akachach natanla. And he gave it to her afterwards. Well, if it's in her chatzer, that means he gave it to her beforehand. Va'yavidla, mi'ikara. That he already gave it to her. If you could see down below the Gemara here, that parentheses with the star in it has a different gear. So he says, ha'yavidla mi'ikara, ve'od. And there's an additional question. Pshita dasur, deshavya. So now you can come back. Deshavyalo, putiki. So the answer is that he made it for her in a putiki.
An additional question?
Yes, there's two questions here. One is, hayavi lami kara. One is that he gave it to her. It's already in her possession, which is not the case that we're talking about. And number two is, pshita, that's considered etnan. What's the question? Of course it's etnan. It's in her possession, it's in her chatzer, it's hers. Of course that's a payment for her services. So my answer is, shavyalo putiki. The answer is that he made it for her as a designated collateral. If I pay you by such and such a day, mutav v'imlav tle betenenech. If I do that, then this collateral will return to me. If not, this tle is your collateral. This becomes your designated wages. So it takes on the designation of wages if he doesn't pay her. So you have to wait until that day. If he defaults on the payment, then it becomes an etnan zuna. So even though it was given for the fact, it doesn't become hers until he defaults on the payment. But since it was designated towards her payment, that's why it's considered to be asur. Okay, next, Gemara. Amarav. Echad etnan zachar ve'echad etnan kol arayot. If an animal is given as compensation, as tmura, for the services of a male, or the services of all arayot, asur, chutz ve'etnan ishto nida. The only exception to that rule is if it was given to his wife who is a nida. So here, he's bringing down all the arayot. In the parsha of arayot, there's also one's wife who is a nida that you're not allowed to sleep with. That's an isur karet as well. So my time, zonah k'tiv, v'alav zonah. Even though ishto nida is a surah, nevertheless, it's not classified as a zonah. A zonah is a bia surah that has karet associated it. One of the exceptions to that rule is an ishto nida. That's not considered to be a bia zonah. It's a bia ben nida, but it's not a biat zonah. V'levi amar, afilu ishto nida. Even if you gave it as remuneration for sleeping with his wife was a nida, which is a surah, then it also, my time, toiva k'tiv, bayet nan et neymar toiva. Then by the kol arayot, it says, don't do any of these to'evot. And that's considered a to'eva. V'levi nami aktib zona. So Rav has a good claim. This isn't a zona. Amalacha, hahi zona v'lo zone. That comes to teach you that it's only for wages of a zona, but not a zone. If a woman pays a man for his services, that is not classified as etnan. Now before we said zachar meant that it was a man paying another man for services, that's the etnan. But we were talking about a woman paying a man for services, that's not considered etnan. V'rav, hai zonah v'lo zoneh minole, where does he know that from? Nafkalemi derabi, the Tanya, Rabbi Omer, ein etnan asur ela kol etnan abaot lo be'aveira. The only etnan is asur is that etnan that comes to him through an aveira of arayot. Aval etnan ishto nida. Vishnatan la skar la hafka ata, if it's etnan for his wife is nida, or it's a skar batala, that's likely a heter for teaching Torah to get paid for it, skar batala. So he's paying her skar batala. She could be sewing and stitching instead, or weaving. He could give her a skar piyata, means he gives her skar batala. Oh, shnatan lo betnano mutarim. Or if she gives it to him for his services, then all of those are considered to be mutarim. Those are not considered to be etnan. Even though we don't have a proof to it, Zecher Ledavar, we have a mention of this in Yechezkel. In Yechezkel, Ted Zayin, I think some of the Gemara said Yud Zayin in it, it's in Yud Ted Zayin Lamed Dalid, Ubetiteich Etnan, when you give or pay an Etnan, Ve'etnan lo nitan lach, but wages were not given to you, Vatihi lehefech, it was just the opposite. Over there, Hashem is criticizing Bnei Yisrael that the normal way of the world is that a man pays the woman for her services. The woman doesn't pay the man for his services. That's not the way of the world. The normal way is that the man pays the wages of the woman. And then Hashem was complaining about Bnei Yisrael, that generally if a person is going to be unfaithful, and Bnei Yisrael are compared to the woman, Hashem is compared to the man, then someone should have paid them to go worship the Avodah Zarah. Instead, Bnei Yisrael were paying and doing the Avodah Zarah. They were paying those that were receiving them. So that's the Mashal and the Nimshal are about exactly that. But to the Hefech. The pasuk says that's the opposite of the way of the world. So again, it's not a proof that that doesn't work that way. It's not an etnan. But you see from the pasuk that the normal way is that etnan is the wages are paid by the male, not paid by the female. All right, now the Gemara continues. V'rav, hai toiva ma'avidai. So now Levi has a good claim that the word toiva matches up over here. So where's Rav do with the word toiva? He's that for Abaye. Makalkas Abaye and Rav. Again, we had most of the sugya in Avodah Zarah. Damar Abaye. Zona avodat kochamim et nana asur. If it's a non-Jewish harlot, then the wages that are given to her are asurim lemizbeach. My time. Tivacha toiva. Tivta atam. Ki kol asher yaseh mikol ha-toivot ha'el. Because it says here, toiva by etnan. It says toivot. By the arayot, malahalan arayot, she'en kedushim tofsin ba. So just like over there, we're talking about arayot, where kedushim are not effective, because they have a chiyuv karet, a chiyuv mitat beitin, and therefore there is no kedushin over there. Achanami, ein kedushim tofsin ba. So too, over here, the only problem by etnan is if you're sleeping with a woman who kedushim cannot be tofaced with. Well, who's that? A non-Jewish woman is someone who your kiddushin will never be tofaced with. A Jewish woman, depending on the circumstances, can have kiddushin with you. So it must be that we're talking about a non-Jewish zonah. V'kohen shebahalea, a kohen that sleeps with a non-Jewish harlot, in lo kealea mishum zonah. Kohen is restricted from marrying or spending time with this, sleeping with the zonah. Now, that restriction only applies to a Jewish woman, does not apply to a non-Jewish woman. My time, Damar Kra, lo yichalel zaro, that he should not profane his offspring. Mi shezaro miyuchas acharav. It's only true of somebody who, if he cohabitated with them, that the offspring would be designated to him. That's what the Jewish woman. Yatsa avodat kochavim. Then zaro miyuchas acharav. He marries a non-Jewish woman. The children are not Jewish. They're not miyuchas acharav, and therefore he cannot be mechalel zaro because they are not his zaro to be mechalel. Zona israelit. On the other hand, if you have a Jewish harlot, etnana mutar. If you give her wages, they are mutar, from the exclusion that we did before. Matam da kedushim tofsim ba. Because you have the possibility of kedushim bin tofsin over there. The kohen shibal eloke mishum zona. And a kohen that sleeps with, then he'll be in violation of zona. Matam da zaro miyuchas acharav. But the Jewish woman, then it is his zaro, and then he gave him a chalel, he can profane his zaro. The Rav Amar argues here, echadze vechadze et nana asur. Doesn't matter, Jewish, non-Jewish, the wages are asurim to be put on the zbeach. And a kohen will be loke in both of these cases. My time, Yofei ma'adodi, it's a mei masinu. Ma zona Yisraelit, belav. Av zona avodat kochavim, belav. Just like a Jewish harlot is restricted by a lav, so too, the zona avodat kochavim will be restricted a lav to the kohen. Ma etnan zona avodat kochavim asur. Just like the wages of a zona, a non-Jewish zona, are asurim the mizbeach, aved non-zona Israelit asurim the mizbeach. So it's mei matzino that we say that all the dinim are equivalent. Meitaveg. Echad zona vadat kochavim, ve'echad zona Israelit, whether she's a Jewish or non-Jewish zona, et nana asur. This is a pretty difficult question. To yufta da abaye. That's a refutation of Abaye's position. So amralcha abaye. Alright, over here, the Gemara is not consecutive. There's a huge problem with the girsa. And now we're going to skip and come back to this. It's Amarcha Abaye. Now skip down to the second to last line of the Gemara, which says Lishna Achmina. Amarcha Abaye. Ki ktanei ha bi'arayot she'en kedushim tofsin ba. The reason that it wrote this in the Tanaic work, that compared a zona v'dat kochavim to a zona Yisraelit, comes to teach you that what is classified as a zona. The only thing classified as a zona is someone where kedushim are not tofsin. So we know that's true by a non-Jewish woman. So by Jewish women also, they'll be classified as a zona if you sleep with a woman who kedushin would not be tofsin ba. So if you sleep with someone who is an arayot, where you could not have kedushin, that makes her into a zona. V'hak tani seifa. Can you really explain the Tanaic work this way? Doesn't seifa say almana l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chulutza l'kohen ejot, and nana asur? The examples being brought there are an almana l'kohen gadol, and a grusha v'chulutza l'kohen ejot, widow to kohen gadol, a divorcee, or someone who had chalitza from the possibility of yibum to a kohen ejot who are restricted to them, they are Yisrael lav, dushin artovsim over there, and yet it says et nana asur. So that can't be what the Tanaic work is saying. Vani kedushin tosim ben. These kedushin do work over there because they're only yisurei lav. Where it says hamani Rabbi Elazar he. That is Rabbi Elazar that says damar panui abal pnuya shelo l'shum ishut asa zona. So the answer here is not that it's coming to explain to us what a zona is, but rather it's being authored by Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar says that a bilat znut is called a zona. Any bilat znut is called a zona. Even a single man and single woman that go together, since that's an inappropriate biah, that's called znut, and that's called zona. Zona is not defined by an illicit biah. It's defined by a biah that's not the shame ishut, not the shame marriage. So even two independent people, singles, individuals that sleep with each other, that's classified as being a zona because that's a bilat znut. So his definition of zona is not that you sleep with someone inappropriate, but rather you sleep with someone who the bi'ah is not effective in terms of ishut, or it's not a part of the ishut. So where it says, e, Rabbi Elazar, so if Rabbi Elazar is really the author of that piece, ma'iriya almana, why are you giving the example in the Mishnah as an almana? Nitnei pnuya, you should have a much better example. A single woman would be a better example of that, because that's a much more mikhudash piece to it. It's a much more extreme view. So Mar says, Almano Yitzrich. We still need the Almana. Sachadat Chamina with that whole, oh, binyan avu. Since that is a paradigm, lo nitasru. Maybe we can't be oser, kamash malan, that is the case. What does that mean, binyan avu? But may chainet nan asur, ele bipanui pnuya. I would have thought, since panui pnuya is such an exceptional case, paradigm, then I would have thought, maybe that's only case. But, something that's a sur to him, like an almana l'kohen gadol, that would not be classified as etnan, because panui pnuya is this exceptional case, that's the only example for zona. Something else would not be considered etnan. Kamash malon, that even almana l'kohen gadol is classified as a zona according to this. Now, we go back to the Gemara where we left off, and says, now the Lishna Achmina. Another possibility of answering this problem for Abaye is, Hamani Rabbi Akiva hi. This is authored by Rabbi Akiva, Damar in Kiddushin Tofsin Bechavei Lavin. Before we ask the question that Abaye had established that the Mishnah was talking about things that Kiddushin are ain't Tofsin ba. The Gemara rejected that because it says the example in the Sefer is an Amanah Lekohen Gadol. So now we answered in the end, forget that whole idea, we're going to go with Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara now comes back and says we can still use that answer. We can use that answer and say that the example of the Zonah Vedat Kofim is going to teach us about the principle of Ein Kiddushin Tov Simba. Why? What about the example of Amanah Lekohen Gadol? Altered by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva believes that even by a Chayvei Lavin, even when there's only a simple lotaset, even a simple negative precept, makes it that kiddushin are not tovsimba. Vakamash malan dechozona lo tovsiba kiddushin domiyad amana de lo tovsiba kiddushin. That's exactly what it's going to teach us. Just like by the avodat kochavim that zona kiddushin ain't tovsimba, so too by amana kiddushin ain't tovsimba. It says ulareva maishna dektani kigon amana lekohen gadol. So why would Rava need Amanah Lekohen Gadol? According to Rava, everybody is Asura in terms of Zonah, and what's unique about Amanah Lekohen Gadol? So Domya Amanah, similar to Amanah, Ma'amanah lo loki ad matriba. So just like in Amanah, you do not get Malkot until you are warned. Av Zonah, if Zonah is not classified as Zonah, Adamar Halich, that take this for your wages, take this as your wages, Lafuke. That comes to exclude the position of Rabbi Elazar. Damar Rabbi Elazar, panuya ba panuya, shalosh imishut asa zona. He makes her into a zona. Aval hecha de zona miikara, hachanami de asur. But had she been a zona originally, then it would be asur. What Rabbi is discussing here is, how is a woman made into a zona? You need the illicit or the improper bi'ah to make her into a zona. That means that the first time that the woman is slept with, she's not a zona. She becomes a zona because of the result of the first bi'ah that she has. The inappropriate bi'ah makes her into a zona. That means that the person who sleeps with her clearly does not make it into etnan because he's not sleeping with the zona. The only way he could make it into etnan is if he designates it and says halech, that this is for you, then that overcomes that problem of her being a zona. Otherwise, only once she's had this illicit bi'ah, she classified as a zona, then the next person to sleep with her would be sleeping with a zona, because she's a zona mi'ikara. So if it's zona mi'ikara, then the animal would be asur, the payment would be asur, he doesn't have to say, this is your payment, because she is a zona already. There are two possibilities of becoming that non-zona. Either you're zona because you've already had an illicit bi'ah, or it's called an etnan zona because you paid her. You said, halech, take this specifically for your payment. But if he doesn't say that statement, then she's not classified as a zona because she doesn't become a zona until after the bi'ah. But had it been a bi'ah mirosh, who had already had a bi'ah and she was already a zona, then it would have been asur. The etnan's asur automatically. He doesn't have to say halach. If he hands her the animal, then it's etnan. Then you don't have to say halach. You don't have to say take it because we know once he pays her, that's automatically etnan zona. If that comes la fuke mi Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar says the definition of zona is biatznut. Any biatznut. So that can happen at the first time. First time a person sleeps with this illicit relation, that's a biatznut. Since a biatznut, that's classified as zona. Rabbi is coming to say that that's not the halacha. Halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar that any biat that is improper is considered znut. It's considered zona. No, it's only someone who has an improper relationship, then she gets a shame zona. And that's only after the fact. That's why he put in this Tanaic work, Amanah Lekohen Gadol, to come to teach you that that's the example of where you become a zona. After a bi'ah of an Amanah Lekohen Gadol, she is designated as a zona. Before that, she's not a zona. The bi'ah tznut that she's having at this moment is not enough to exclude Rabbi Elazar's opinion, who has said she's a zona immediately because it's a bi'ah tznut, and that would have been an etnan. According to Rava, you can't become an etnan of an Amanah Lekohen Gadol until after the fact, until she's already become a designated as a zona. Then, if you pay her, or if you say specifically that it's given to her for her wages. Okay, and with that, we'll stop over here.